The budget proposal that we have worked out, that we are presenting, that we just finished presenting to the Senate, that the House is currently presenting to its caucus, says no further cuts to common education. It says that we're going to make sure that there are not the draconian provider rate cuts for Medicaid, that Medicaid actually will see hopefully a negligible cut in provider rates. We are trying to make sure that corrections would stay at a level where they would be able to perform their duties without endangering the public. We've made sure that the Pinnacle Plan is fully funded at the Department of Human Services, and that hopefully some of the rate cuts at DHS will be able to be avoided and possibly restored. Obviously, I can't give you details as to each, to agency by agency what we're doing, but we're very pleased with the work that has gone into this session. Especially, I'm proud of my Senate colleagues that have made the tough votes to do reforms that will help lower the structural deficit for future years. That is a key component to this budget, that the Senate was adamant that we address the structural deficit that we've had. We actually said last year, because of the structural deficit that we were facing, we would possibly have a $1 billion shortfall in the upcoming budget year, and that came true. I do not have that same negative feeling about this budget. I think we've done a good job of balancing taking care of the structural deficit while also making sure that core areas of state government are funded and funded adequately as we can. We've got a long road ahead of us, however, because we have to pass all of these bills through the Joint Committee on Appropriations and Budget today. Then they'd have to pass out of their chambers of origin on Wednesday and the opposite chamber on Friday. And as you know, the Constitution of the State of Oklahoma requires us to adjourn sine die by 5 p.m. on Friday. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. I think it's fair to say that we got a fairly warm reception by our caucus to the proposal, but the devil's in the details, and as we continue to digest it, I'm certain we'll have members of both parties that love it and members of both parties that hate it. That's the great thing about a budget, is that if everybody wrote their own, it would look different, but we've come up with something that hopefully takes care of core government without creating a larger structural deficit than we already had. And with that, I'm happy to take a few questions. Again, I'm not going to give you specifics agencies out of deference to the House, but we will be releasing that data later today.
How much in bond?
We have agreed to an amount lesser than what the state bond advisor has told us would be the maximum for safety. So we've agreed to a bond amount that is well within the bond advisor's recommendation.
What is that about?
He said we could do $300 million a year for 2 years. We are doing a one-year bond only, and it is substantially less than $300 million.
You can't tell us how much.
I'd prefer not to tell you how much it is, but I will tell you that it's less than $300 million by a considerable margin. The Senate, obviously, we've been adamant that we don't want to see a large amount of bonding. We've said that we'd be comfortable with $150 to $200 million in bonds. $300 million if it's split over 2 years in utilization, and I think the Senate is still within that range.
Can you say the overall size of the budget?
Overall size of the budget, I'd rather not give you an exact precise amount, but I would tell you that it's smaller than $6.8 billion as it stands right now. That is for FY17, but obviously if you include, we also have the session expenditures for supplementals that we've already done. The ad valorem supplemental that we have for FY16 by itself is $47 million in additional spend for this year that we had to figure out how we were going to get that accomplished.
So how much of the hole were you able to fill?
We've already filled a lot of the hole through cash flow reserve reform, tax credit reform, earned income credit reform. We've done a tremendous amount of reform already to try to fill that hole. I would we'll have exact figures once everything passes out as to how much we actually got. But we have increased recurring revenues by hundreds of millions of dollars to this state, and that is a very positive thing that we believe the ratings agencies will look favorably upon, because that cuts the structural deficit in the long term.
On the new wind zero emission tax credit. Is there any money in the fiscal year 17 budget?
We are not booking any money for wind reform in the 17 budget because everything you do is basically 2 years old. And so we would hopefully see some money come into the budget in FY18 and thereafter.
Do you have a fiscal analysis on that? The last one was like $302 million.
We're asking that we pass that bill, which would generate $300 million. Over the next 10 years.
So education's no cuts to education.
No further cut to common education, which we think is, when you look at a 1% cut to common education, is roughly the size of the entire budget of the Department of Agriculture. If we did a 1% increase to common ed, it would be the size of wiping out the Department of Agriculture. If we did a 1% cut, we could fund two Departments of Agriculture. I mean, it's a 1% cut at Common Ed is $24 million. So being able to, I know the House had said earlier that their goal was to not cut them by any more than additional 5%, that we have been able to keep them to no additional cuts should alleviate the need for a reduction in from 5-day school days to a week to 4-day school weeks. It should prevent the massive teacher layoffs that we're talking about because common education from the state would be getting no less money, and obviously they have their ad valorem revenues which increase every year. I would suspect that they would see the same increase on their funding from ad valorem, so hopefully Common Ed will have more money to spend next year than this year, but we are not cutting them further. They're absorbing the revenue shortfall. We've already restored $51 million of that cut already to them for this year, and we do not see them getting an additional cut.
Any new taxes or fees?
There's no new proposals that for taxes and fees that other than what have already been presented to the caucuses and have been presented publicly.
Any new taxes?
There are no new taxes or fees other than what we've already presented currently to the membership.
So the $15 million that you hope to get from the driver's license, that would be one fee, right? Are there significant other fees? Are there any new taxes?
If we were going to pass any taxes, we would have had to have had
right.
it done by last
right.
Friday. So no, there's nothing there.
And on fees, just that driver's license?
We've had the conversation about the driver's license fee on the Real ID. We do not have an agreement to bank that as revenue. So if we get that, that's just more money for a safety cushion in the event that...
I guess I misspoke. I was referring to the license plates, the tags.
Yeah,
license plates. License plates, we will run that. That passed, obviously, out of the House. We anticipate passing out of the Senate. That would be included within it.
So you have enough support in your caucus to pass the GA bill out of the Senate?
We haven't whipped it. I can't tell you yes or no, but we had... we had, I think, a very productive caucus meeting to educate our members on it. I would suspect we will have some members that will be vocally opposed to the budget because of their desires to protect their favorite agency from cuts, or they don't want to do any bonds, or they don't like the amount that we agreed to on bonds. I'm certain that you're going to have people that will find something they don't like about this budget. There are parts of this budget that I don't like, but we also have to craft something that can pass muster with 149 elected officials plus the governor.
What are the average cuts per agency, or can you give us a range?
It depends. We did not do a flat, everybody gets cut the same amount, because not all of state government's the same. And so we tried to make sure that we didn't do things happenstance or just generically, but we tried to make sure we prioritize the agencies.
Is the executive branch on board with this?
The executive branch, Governor Fallon and her team have agreed to the framework that we have proposed to the House and Senate caucuses.
Is there some revolving fund money in there?
Of course there's revolving fund money. We've always used revolving fund money. The question is the extent. We're using substantially less in revolving funds this year than we have in the past. And so we believe that at the end of the day, we will use less in revolving funds. We think that's partially because agencies have already been spending those revolving funds down. And we are using some, not nearly what we've used in the past, however, which I think, again, helps us with the structural deficit and alleviating part of the structural deficit is we are reducing our reliance on revolving funds, which I think is a healthy thing.
Rainy day fund?
Rainy day fund, we've agreed to use the constitutionally prescribed portion of rainy day that we are allowed. And so we're very comfortable with the rainy day fund amount. We are not draining it completely.
How much are you taking out of it?
We have We have not moved above 3/8 in negotiations to this point, and if we were to move above rainy day, it would be modest, if anything, above the 3/8.
What's that dollar
amount?
$144 million. And again, almost the vast majority of that would be for FY16, not for FY17 expenditures. So that again mitigates a structural deficit argument, because we would be
the money you've already seen for DOC.
We've already spent 78.
Okay. Yeah, 78.
We've already spent 78 out of rainy day. Mm-hmm. We also have, you know.
So the 144 is the total that you'd be taking out, including the however much you already did.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so I'm unclear.
And that would be for 16.
The vast majority of it will be for 16. There may be some of it that's left over for 17, but the vast majority of it will be FY16 expenditures. So,
there's about
common ed corrections, and we will probably be funding the ad valorem supplemental $47 million out of that rainy day fund, because that has to be a cash source, and so that reduces the amount that is even usable for 17.
Okay, so you don't have.
But we might have 20 or 30 million maybe to be used of rainy day for FY17. So, I mean, the vast majority would be 16.
And the total balance right now, you're basically going to take about half of it, right?
No, we're taking 3/8, which is what we're allowed to take.
3/8 of what is left in there now?
3/8 of the balance. We actually technically can take 6/8. But my, you know, obviously as someone who's leaving, I don't want to burden the next chairman of appropriations and the next pro tem and the next legislature if they have a problem with no money left in the rainy day fund. I want to make sure that there's adequate reserves there in case they need to tap it again.
When will you know that you have an agreement among all three parties?
We feel like we've come to an agreement with the principals. Obviously, I think we would be happy to visit all three of us with Chairman Sears, Preston Dorflinger and myself. I think we'd be willing to visit with you guys once we have finished with the House caucus.
And that's really my question, is when do you think you'll hear from them?
We anticipate, our goal, our hope would be obviously to run a JCAB bill this afternoon that has all of this in it, both on the House and Senate side.
And there'd be some sort of press briefing, I assume.
I would absolutely expect that we'd have handouts and colored graphs and everything for you.
Thank you, sir.
You guys, anything else?
Thank you for your time, sir.